Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Tina, the Tina Turner musical, opens tonight at the L'Enfantin Theatre on Broadway. The biographical jukebox musical features a book by award-winning playwright Katori Hall and is directed by Phillida Lloyd. It tells the story of Anna Mae Bullock of Nutbush, Tennessee's life and growth into Tina Turner, living legend and international queen of rock and roll. Adrienne Warren plays Turner. She's earned raves in the West End production and an Olivier Award nomination, and is gathering early buzz during Broadway previews. Daniel J. Watts plays Ike Turner on Broadway. Watts is the creator of the long-running and evolving solo show entitled The Jam. His previous Broadway credits include The Color Purple, In the Heights, Memphis, Motown the Musical, and Hamilton. He's often jumped from stage to screen and plays Felony in the comedy series The Last OG on TBS, starring Tracy Morgan and Tiffany Haddish. Daniel J. Watts joins us now. Welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me.
Please tell me about Ike Turner as written in this show and what you've had to learn about him and embody to play this character, who is, of course, a real person.
Ike Turner as written in the show, I think Ike gets a little, it's not necessarily redemption. He definitely gets a second look, the opportunity to consider what he might have gone through that might have encouraged him to be the way that he was. Ike was born in Clarksdale, Mississippi in the 30s, and his father was beaten nearly to death by a white mob because he was talking to a white woman, and he eventually succumbed to his injuries about 2 years later after living in an infirmary tent in their front yard. Ike was about 6 or 7 then. According to Ike, he had been molested by a woman on his way to school, pretty much his entire first year of school. 6 years old, 7 years old, he had his music stolen from him when he first created rock and roll with Rocket 88. He was married, and the wife of his was taken from him by her parents and put in a same asylum. He never saw her again. Like, all of this happened before he met Anna Mae Bullock, who would become Tina Turner, so this show does a good job of showing a man who constantly has his resolve stripped at, and the only person he's ever really allowed to take out that those feelings on is the closest person to him, and unfortunately that was Tina. I went to Clarksdale, Mississippi. His house is still there, 304 Washington. I went to Nutbush also, just to see where Tina was from. I went to Memphis Sun Records and saw where he created, where he laid down the track, Rocket 88. I saw the cotton fields on the way to Memphis on Route 61. I just got a sense of where he was from, and it really helped influence. I read his autobiography. So those things really helped me influence who Ike was as a person, as an individual. And then Katori just gave very poetic words to give this man a license to speak.
Katori Hall, of course, wrote the book for the musical. This isn't the first time you've played a real and famous person. In previous productions, you played Sammy Davis Jr. What is it like to play someone who was real, and how do you strike the balance between performing the character as written for the show and doing an impersonation of the actual person, which I'm sure is not exactly what you want to do?
Sure. No, you never want to impersonate, because it goes into a whole other kind of caricature thing. You can really just give the essence of. So Sammy, I've known, loved Sammy since I was a kid, 8 or 9 years old. Had a substitute teacher actually brought me a cassette tape of Sammy's greatest hits, and just I think you might like this guy. And I've idolized him ever since. So to play Sam, personally, I don't think anybody should ever play Sam. Just because he's just too good. He's too talented. He's too big to fail. But I had a blast. You just do the essence. You pay homage. You do the mannerisms and the speech, and you do the homework. You know where they came from. Think about the things that they ingested. Similarly with Ike, I listened to a lot of the music that he was listening to. Listening to Louis Jordan and Sun House. So I just started listening to those artists to really understand what kind of music was feeding him as an artist. And like I said, I went to Clarksdale, and I live in New York, so this is where Sammy grew up. And I did a lot of theater, bounce around theater. So Sammy was on the vaudeville circuit. I've done a lot of regional theaters, just bouncing from theater to theater. So I understand the, not supposed to say the term gypsy life, but gypsy life, that Sammy led. So it's, you know, going from like the most loved entertainer of all time to one of the most hated in the industry was kind of just, it's fun in a way, but also, you know, and a stretch also. But it just shows you the fickleness of the business of the record industry, and also understanding like the times that both of these black men went through very hard racial times when they were growing up. So just trying to, Sammy's drive was really out of like, you're going to love me whether you like it or not, you know? And I think Ike similarly was, you know, really just loved music, and music was always his escape. And he knew that if nothing else, he had control over his music if he didn't have control over anything else.
Tina, the Tina Turner musical opens on November 7th, which when this airs will be tonight. Right now, as we're speaking, you're in previews. What has your journey with this show been like so far? What has it been like to bring Ike Turner and watch the actors bring Tina Turner to audiences?
Oh, man, it's been, the audiences have just been phenomenally overwhelming. You know, when you're in the preview process, you feel very exposed. It's a lot of like, I'm trying this out for the first time in front of 1,500 people. And hopefully I don't fall flat on my face. Hopefully it gets received. You know, sometimes this is the only time I'll perform it like this, because tomorrow I'll get totally different pages, or they may add a song or change the guitar lick. So like the preview process is very much a, you know, it is a work in progress. Every night it feels like a guinea pig night. But the audiences have been incredible, mainly because Adrian is, you know, incredible, unstoppable, unflappable. And, you know, she's done the work. You know, she's been with the piece for like 4 years. The rest of us are really kind of playing catch up to her. The creative team, you know, this is the third version of Tina, technically. They did it in London, then they did it in Germany, Hamburg, and now it's here. So everyone really came pretty prepared. It was really on the rest of us to kind of like step into that which had already been created. And thankfully, you know, I've had enough experience where Ike kind of just, I just kind of just fell into Ike, you know. I did the homework, and we just kind of just started going. And me and Adrian have known each other for 10 years, so our chemistry is just already there.
You have appeared in 8 Broadway shows, including Hamilton, In the Heights, and Memphis. You've also worked off-Broadway and at regional theaters, as you just mentioned. You've done a lot of television and film. How did you find your way to this performing life? When did you discover that this was what you wanted to pursue?
Oh, man, my mom kind of pushed me into it. The story goes that when I was a kid, I had an aunt that had a hat rack, and I would take off the different hats and, like, pretend to be somebody else based on the hat that I had on. I don't really remember this, but I guess it must have been, like, 8 or 9. So my mom saw it in me, and then around 13, you know, I'm an only child and pretty, you know, rambunctious kid, and she wanted to help, like, distill that energy. And so she suggested I go out for a play. And I was like, play? I want to play basketball. I was going to be the next Muggsy Bogues. And I went out for this play. It was a community college play about this in Charlotte, North Carolina, about this little community in Charlotte called Brooklyn, because so many people had migrated from Brooklyn to this little area. So it was about that. And I went in for it, and I just fell in love, because it was a whole bunch of people playing pretend all the time. I'm the only child, so I was always playing pretend. So, like, all of a sudden, I wasn't a weirdo. I was, you know, and embraced by adults. Like, you play pretend, too? This is fun for you? Yeah. And that was it. I was done. I was hooked.
Before I let you go here, I wanted to ask you about The Jam.
Oh, man. The Jam is based on my great-grandmother, who used to make jam. It's inspired by my, you have to make jam from scratch, and she would, you can't make it a jar at a time, you have to make it in bulk. So she would make a jar for herself and give the rest away. So I've been writing, you know, things, poems, raps, stuff, stream of consciousness since I was like 12 or 13. And I realized over the years I just accumulated all this material, and I wanted to share it, a la my great grandmother. So there have been different iterations of The Jam, but this most recent jam is called Only Child. Is based on the fact that I started going to therapy, and I felt like therapy was like inviting a stranger to the attic of your mind. Mm-hmm. Only you hadn't been up there in a while, and you haven't been up there in a while, and you know, boxes of stuff, and you're kind of embarrassed by all the stuff that's up there. So you kind of focus the energy on one specific place or one specific item. Like, I'm looking for this Bob Marley record. Only over time you realize, like, if you're really serious about finding that Bob Marley record, you have to turn the lights on. You have to be honest about what you've been through. And you have to, honestly, when you find that Bob Marley record, it won't matter because you have the whole attic to clean up. And I realized being an only child in a single-parent home and a latchkey kid in the Confederate South kind of influenced me to be a certain kind of person, and I need to learn how to, like, let those things go.
How does
so
all of
jam.
Yeah, how does all of that, is very deep and personal, how does it manifest as performance, as the jam?
Oh, so, like, it's, you know, this version of the jam is storytelling. It weaves in and out of personal stories and spoken word mixed in with a DJ, a live DJ, who kind of, like, serves as the sonic architect of the evening. Mm-hmm. Either influences emotions or kind of helps enforce emotions. And we weave through me going through therapy and me going back. There's tap, there's hip-hop, there's stand-up comedy. It's got a little bit of everything.
Daniel J. Watts plays Ike Turner in Tina, the Tina Turner musical, now running at the L'Enfantin Theater on Broadway. Daniel, it's been wonderful to speak with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Once again, Daniel J. Watts plays Ike Turner in Tina, the Tina Turner musical, which opens tonight at the L'Enfantin Theater on Broadway. It was just announced that Watts has been nominated for an L.A. Stage Alliance Ovation Award for Best Featured Actor in a Musical for his West Coast performance as Sammy Davis Jr. in Lights Out, Nat King Cole. Daniel J. Watts' The Jam Only Child will be at Joe's Pub in New York City in January. Links to more information about all of this are posted with this interview online at wamc.org/roundtable.